Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. You're listening to Thought-Provoking Talk on Dresser After Dark. Randy Komisar with us is a partner at the esteemed VC firm Kleiner Perkins Caulfield and Beyer, a lecturer on entrepreneurship at the Stanford University, and the author of the best-selling The Monk and the Riddle, which was selected as one of the top 100 business books of all time. He's co-authored Getting to Plan B, Building a Better Business Model. And let us say, Randy, hi, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Michael.
Oh, and thank you so much for being here. Randy, when we talk about a business model, most people that fail in business get into business and they don't have a model, they don't have a roadmap, they've got a product and they're out there on the street.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think people confuse business models with some highfalutin notion of a business school's approach to a business. Business model is very simple. How are you going to make money?
Yeah.
What's your value proposition? Why does somebody care? And why are they going to be your customer?
Okay, now when we talk about the model, but there are many different phases or dimensions of a model, isn't there?
There certainly are. I think what you'll see in Getting to Plan B is the basic premise that really, I think, turns the notion of how you build businesses on its head is that rather than create a business plan and arrive at a business model, hypothetically, based upon assumptions,
sure,
before you even get into the market, about getting to a plan A, you must instead develop a business model and a business process that gets you to plan B, meaning a plan that is informed by real information experience in the marketplace.
Yeah, and a very interesting, very simple question, as you stated early on, the five key elements of the business model that you talk about, you've created the revenue model starting at the beginning. Who's going to buy? What an interesting question, huh?
Well, it's, you know, in every business plan, of course, has a revenue line in it. What's different about getting to Plan B is the revenue line only becomes relevant when the leap of faith question has to do with revenues, meaning how big is the market? Will people be willing to pay money for that product or service? Will they pay your price?
Okay, but in addition to that, when we look at a market, when we look at the target customer, the client, the whatever that there is for us, I have found that over the past many, many, many years now, Randy, that one of the reasons that people won't buy is because they don't understand what the product is and what the product is going to do for them, and there is not the compelling reason to buy.
Well, and in getting to Plan B, John and I both point out that you really got to start one step further back from that, and that is, what's the problem you're trying to solve? If you understand the problem you're trying to solve, then you have a better chance of building the product or service that creates value to solve that problem that a customer will buy.
Okay, so you come up with a problem, and then the first thing in your head is, what is the problem going to fix? What's it going to solve? What's it going to be to that person out there on the street? And if you're selling it, and if it's a drill, you don't sell the drill, you sell what the drill can do. I think that's another major mistake that many marketers and businesses get into today. They're selling the drill, not what the drill can do, and they lose a great percentage of a potential audience, a potential customer, because the customer doesn't understand what the product means to them.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to get lost, Michael, if you haven't really clearly defined the problem. Once you've defined the problem, it becomes a lot easier to focus in on what that value proposition is. I'll give you an example. For instance, the razor blade model, the notion that you give away the razor and sell the blades on an ongoing basis is the best way to make money off of a kind of a subscription product.
Sure.
Well, the reality is, when Steve Jobs put out the iPod, he actually turned it around. He started to sell the music for 99 cents, but he was making all his margin on the razors. Why is that? Why did he change that model? Well, guess what? Everybody was stealing the razors online. Digital music was being pirated like crazy. He couldn't make the money on the razors. He had to rethink that model.
No, and by the way, hear what I'm saying here. I love what you've done here, and when you've broken down the models, because when you say a model, the five key elements of every business model, there's a piece of it, there's the dimension of it, the revenue model, the gross margin model, the operating model, etc. And if you don't have the combination of all these together, you're not going to get that far.
That's right. That's right. And it even, you know, you want to start back with a process that defines that model, again, in practice, meaning empirically. The problem we've got with most people starting businesses today is they arrive at what they think is a good idea, probably not even starting with a problem, just a solution, and then they make a whole bunch of assumptions about what that revenue line and gross margin line should look like before they've ever even built a product. Our getting to Plan B, John and I both sort of say, stop, go back and build a dashboard that raises your key questions, your leaps of faith, and address those questions, and then your model will evolve. Then your revenue issues will evolve, your gross margin issues, your working capital issues, with real empirical facts, information from your customers.
Randy, let me hold you up. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back, so please stay with us. Randy Komisar,
sure.
Co-author of Getting to Plan B. Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. You are listening to Dresser After Dark. Randy Komisar with us. He's the co-author of Getting to Plan B, Building a Better Business Model. Randy, let me ask you this question. When was it that you and John took a look at the marketplace, in essence, and said, there's got to be a Plan B, there's got to be certain steps if somebody's going to be successful?
Well, John and I started discussion probably about 2 years ago when he was out here at Stanford on sabbatical from the London School of Business. And we started to compare notes on how often we see Plan A actually work in the marketplace. And both of us went back out to our respective constituencies, me to my entrepreneurs, his to him to his classes, and we both came back and said, guess what? most of the companies are working with, most of the people we're working with and teaching, these guys are actually not on plan A. They're on plan B, C, D, E, Z. And the reality was we found that plan A seldom worked. So why were businesses and business plans always built around executing against a plan A when, in fact, what they needed to do was figure out a way to